Good afternoon, everyone. I may be in Australia, good evening. Today, Lamachara from Australia have asked me to do the Vaitara initiation. And before we begin the initiation, I normally, the way we practice is through short meditation. Because before we get to the main part of the initiation, I think it's very important for us to be ready to receive the initiation. Because we have so many different thoughts going in our minds. So it's really important for to be calm, to be very relaxed, so that we can receive the initiation. So we will do a short meditation. Before we begin the initiation, I think it's also very important to understand why we are receiving the initiation. Receiving initiation itself is an easy part I would say. But the reason why you want to receive the initiation and what you're going to do with the initiation after you receive it, that is, I think, the more challenging and more important questions that we have to ask. Why we are receiving initiation is, of course, we understand, of course, now I believe that you have been studying Buddhism for quite some time, so you understand that we are in samsara, we want to get out of this samsara, not just for ourselves, but for the sake of all sentient beings, that you want to practice the Buddha, Buddhahood, and also to achieve Buddhahood for ourselves, or the, all sentient beings to be Buddha, attain Buddhahood. Now, when we say samsara, I think it's also very important to understand the question itself. It's samsara. Normally we say samsara, and we have, the way we explain it is that samsara is like a wheel where we are going in round and round. We are born, we are getting old, we are getting sick, and then we die. So basically we are born and rebirth is taking again and again. So we are into this samsara circle of samsara, where there is no end, which is always going round and round. So this is the kind of image that we have in our mind. But I think we have to also understand what is samsara. What is samsara made of? What is samsara? How it functions? I think the samsara itself is the actually nothing outside. Samsara is the made the material which is made of samsara is made of our own different thoughts, stream of thoughts, small thoughts. Which is combined, joined by our joined by an imprint, which is making this circle, so that we are always because we are, our thought is one after another joined. It's not like water. When you see a river, or when you see a waterfall, or anything like that, you will think, ocean is really big, or you will say a lake, or you will see a river, which is, you say, this is water. Actually, water is flowing one drop after another, because of that continuous water flowing. When you see it, you feel, there is one big water. Big water. I mean, you don't see one drop of another. So you don't look at it as separate individual water drops, but you see a huge one lake or one ocean or something like that. But if you look carefully, then you will see that the samsara is made of your own stream of thoughts, which is joined by your imprint. So we have to get out of this. That is the most challenging. So at the same time, you will understand Buddhist teachings, Buddha's teaching are very simple. All he wants to do, all he wants you to understand, all he wants us to understand is that we are, all the things that we do are keeping us in this samsara. All the thoughts. If I say we are not thinking, then you may feel, I'm thinking all the time. I'm thinking what to do for, what to eat for dinner, what I'm going to do for tomorrow, what I'm going to go for vacation, or how I'm going to do the work. I'm going to plan. I'm doing all this thinking, but all this thinking are kind of the result of this thinking are keeping us in this samsara. The kind of thinking that we are talking basically is meditation. Meditation is we know, okay, again, other thing is that when we say meditation, in our mind, I did meditation today, so I feel very relaxed today, or I feel very calm today, I feel very, happy today. This is the kind of explanation that we get. But meditation is not just that. Meditation, of course, the first part of meditation is supposed to get your mind, to control your mind. So that's where you have this, to keep your mind in one place. Now, the second part of the meditation, which is the more main part of the meditation, is that then you have to, research,
analyze.
We have to analyze. You have to analyze in each and everything. And that is called meditation, actually, right? That is when we say meditation, it does not mean that you are just sitting somewhere quiet and you are not doing. You may be physically sitting in a quiet place, but your mind is analyzing each and everything in your life, in this world, in everything. So, meditation is a very powerful and very strong thing, and without meditation, there is no enlightenment. We have to understand that, because without the help of meditation, there is no understanding of the true understanding ultimate truth. There is no ultimate truth without meditation. So that although we understand that we are in the samsara, and if we get rid of all our defilements, then we will be enlightened. That is the, we already understand that. Then if that is the case, if we already know how to become, how to achieve enlightenment or how to be Buddha, then why are we still in samsara? Because we are, because of our thoughts, because of our defilements, and because we are not, our mind is not strong enough, is not powerful enough, not trained enough to become Buddha. Because Buddhahood means basically one who understands. One who understands, I'm not talking about worldly things, I'm talking about the ultimate truth. That is where you will be enlightened. So, understanding the samsara, as Buddha said, is like waking up from your dream. Whatever you dreamt in your dream, it feels real. You feel the wind, you feel the fall, you feel the happiness, you feel whatever you feel in your dream, you can actually feel it in your physically. Physically, you are reacting to that. So, but as you wake up, then you understand, this is just a dream, it's not true. Just like that, everything in this world is our imagination. Good things, bad things, and whatever things in your life, in this samsara, everything is image of there is no such thing as good or bad. Good or bad is created by your own mind. We say, oh, this is good, this is bad, and then everything in this world, we brand that this is good, or this is this thing. If you do this, like for example, in society, if you become rich or you are successful, and if you are poor, you are not successful. that's the kind of a that's the whole world is working in that kind of a mindset. But that is poor entries is also how do you say your mindset branding. And just like happiness, what is happiness? These are important questions, easy questions, but very important questions. We all want happiness, right? We all say we want happiness. We want you to be happy. I want myself to be happy. But if you ask this question, what is happiness? Then you will be surprised to see that you can't really pinpoint happiness. Just like before, I say that everything is branded. That this is happy, this is sour, this is bitter, this is sweet. Everything is branded, right? So just like that, happiness is also a brand. If you do such, if you feel certain kind of feelings, these are called happiness. If you feel certain things, these are called suffering or pain. So everything is branded, and so not just the happiness, even the suffering, everything in your life is branded. So it's very important to understand. Once you understand that, then you will find that nothing really that you have in this samsara worth doing or worth attention or worth your energy or what you were achieving, right? Otherwise, all our life we've been working. I am now 43. I've been working for so long, and then if I say what I have done for the last 43 years, then I can't really pinpoint something. These are things you have to ask yourself. I'm not asking you to ask other people. Other people are, we normally say, oh, we have to, with other people to do better. But other people, this is interesting that I've been thinking that when we say, I know, certain people, there are many people in this world I don't know at all whatsoever. This is, we can all agree on that, right? Now we come to the people we know in our life. For example, your co-workers or your family members, you say, I know that person. Because what do you know? Oh, I know because he's so high, he's the skin, the color, he likes the apple, or he likes McDonald's, or he or she, whatever. These certain things that you will pinpoint, and they say, I know everything about that person. But if you really think about it, if you know everything about that person, then you should be able to tell what he's going to be doing the next moment. But you can't tell me that what he's going to think. See, physically, you can place that person in a certain area, but mentally, you can't say at all what that person is doing. Now, if you should come even closer to yourself, for example, your children or your parents, you say, oh, I know everything about my parents. It's my parents. It's my children. I know everything, what he likes, what he don't like. But if that is the case, why there are quarrels or why there are arguments within the family? Because if everybody knows everything exactly what's going to happen, why there is arguments? Because we don't understand each other. What the children doesn't understand or doesn't want to do, or what children wants the parents doesn't understand or what doesn't want to do. So these are things. So that means we don't understand much about our family. Now the question even comes closer to yourself. Do I know myself? Now this is the question that I find when I thought like this, I got goosebumps basically. It was quite interesting for me, because if I ask myself, do I know myself? That is a very chilling or the scary if you don't know your co-workers, your family members, even your parents, your own brother, your child, and then finally you don't know yourself. Because if I know myself exactly, if I know exactly everything I'm going to, so of course I know everything I know. I want to go there, I want to eat that, I want to do this, I have all this. Then this is a very big, mistake that we are making by thinking that we know ourselves. We have no idea what we are about ourselves. Because if we know everything about ourselves, then, for example, right now is in India time is 2:28 or 14:28. What I'll be thinking after 3 hours? Can I stay up at 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock today exactly? My mind, I'll be thinking like this. Can you point yourself after 3 hours of after 3 hours from now, this moment? Can you tell yourself, or I will think my mind is will be exactly here what I'm going to think? Can you say that to yourself? We can't, because we have no idea what after 3 hours exactly that our mind may do this. Or that means actually we have no idea at all about our own self. So this is I find it fascinating, these kind of questions, and these are important questions. Because day and night, 24/7, we are working for somebody. Right? And supposedly, we are working for ourselves. Because for me. Because I is the most important thing in this world. But if you don't know who that I is, then the question is, why are we working for? Who are we working for? We don't know who our boss is, who are we working for? So, I think these are the questions you should ask yourself, think like this, that it will definitely help you control, or your mind to be more, I don't know the Western term, I think down to earth, or you say, or you some more calm, because then there's no, otherwise, because our mind is always in the future, that's why our mind is never calm, because we are always trying to be in the future. The future is not the present. So, we can never be in the future, because we are always in the present, and we are always trying to reach to the future, because when the future becomes present, there is another future. So this endless stream of future is coming, and that's how it's very difficult to satisfy our mind, because there is no such thing as satisfaction. You may think, if I get this promotion, or if I get this job, or if I get this object, or if I go to this place, I will be happy. But I'm not just telling you what it is. I'm just sharing the experiences that I have, and I would like you to also ask these questions to yourself. It's much more important to ask these questions for yourself rather than me telling you that you are going to feel this way. Because that is the most, because ultimately the most important person in this world is yourself, right? Everybody has their own, we all have our own different mini worlds. We all have the most important person in your life. We all have the most beautiful place in your life. We all have the most delicious dish in your life. The most best restaurant in your place. Everybody has their own these are for brandings, right? These are the best things, the best most beautiful person, most handsome person. These are all brandings, right? So this is important to understand, because once you understand that your mind is actually branding everything, the thing actually does not exist, not does not necessarily is more beautiful or ugly or anything like that. But you project, your mind is making it beautiful or rich or poor or whatever it is. So it's very important. These questions are very, very important, because otherwise the practice that you do, what are you trying to get out of? If you don't understand samsara, then what are you trying to get out of samsara? Right? What do you need to get out of samsara? Because everything is branded, but we have this vague idea. I know, I can say, Alma Chara, he's in Australia. I know Alma Chara. Exactly, he is in Australia, he's in Canberra, and he's a very good very good teacher and very good in English. I can say all this. But it's similar to myself. I can say, oh, I know myself. I like cricket, or I like to eat a certain food. I like to go certain places. I like certain colors. But these are vaguely, we are just saying vague things. That I like certain things. But that's not the full, that's not the complete I. So it is very important to understand. Once you understand that, actually, that will give you the, understanding of Buddhism. What Buddha is trying to teach you. What he is trying to teach you is so simple that for many people it's unbelievable that it's so simple. But at the same time, if you want to be more detailed and more complicated, you can study for the few or many, many generations, you still will not be able to understand. But if you understand the core, the meaning of the Buddha's teaching, then you will find, basically, if you understand yourself, if I put it in a more worldly terms or easier terms, the moment you understand 100% who you are, what you are, understand yourself, and that is basically the enlightenment. Then you understand, you really, to be enlightened, that's why, if you, especially in the case of this Vajrayana or Mahayana, you should be enlightened. Basically, it does not mean that you will be going to a different planet, or you will be going, you have to be rebirth, you have to, you have to pass away to become a Buddha. No, that doesn't work there. Basically, understanding yourself is attaining enlightenment. Because then you will be more, then there is no attachment. Because that is where meditation comes in. Meditation is very important, very good, one of the best methods to understand these questions. And to ask this question, basically to understand yourself. This is the question. For this reason, all the Buddha's teachings are the result will give you that basically to understand yourself. All the Buddha's teaching is basically to try to understand oneself, and once you do that, then you basically be enlightened. So this is a very important question. I ask myself this as much as possible. These are simple questions, very, very important questions. So that's one of the reasons why normally we should try to do meditation practice. That's very important. So today we are going to do the Vayathara initiation. Vayathara initiation is actually long life initiation. Now, those who have practiced Buddhism, you will understand all the lamas and all the great masters, we always say, oh, this life is very, very precious life. very precious to be born the human form. There are six realms. Out of that, the human realm is the most important and the most beautiful and most important for, especially for practitioners. What they actually mean is that not just being born as a human. I used to think that, because when I visited, I used to think just being born as a human is precious. That is not the case. Because then they have so many different people in this world, so many different kind of persons, and then not everybody you feel, therefore you will find that not really can't be precious, because precious basically means that you have to get a lot of the right consequences, the right to be born as a human, physically fit. I mean, when I say physically fit, means that you can understand the teaching, you can hear the teachings, and mentally fit, also very important. Physically and mentally, you have to be to fit to understand the Buddha's teaching. Because even though somebody sitting next to the master or guru, or even Buddha himself, if he can't hear or if he can't understand Buddha, Buddha can teach himself, but the person will not understand anything. So, it is very precious when I say that human body is, there are conditions. Not just being born as a human is considered as precious, but if you are born in a physically, mentally fit, and also environment also, again, if you are born in a war zone, or if you are born in a very difficult area like a drought or something like that, then it's very also not possible to receive teachings, and so these are away from all this, and that is considered, and also to find the right master, to meet the right master, not just meet the right master, but also to be able to have the conversation or to receive the teaching. These are many, many conditions. But once you have all of that, then life is become precious. And that kind of life we want to prolong as much as possible. Because if you are not alive, then that means you can't do your practice. Right? So that's why. Not for just to live long or to do more samsara work, not like that. To do the your practice yourself. That is the reason that we want to receive long life initiation. Of course, receiving this initiation, then not just this is like a license. Not just receiving the initiation, but after receiving the initiation, then you have to practice. Without practice, just by mere receiving the initiation, your life is not going to automatically become longer, or you stop taking your medication, stop going to doctors, and it doesn't work that way. There are many causes and conditions, so all of them must be followed, and then plus practicing the, for example, today's initiation, Vaitara, then your life will be prolonged. So these are very important. So we will begin the initiation. I hope you understood what I'm trying to say. I have a very limited vocabulary in English, especially listening teachings from Lama Chodra. After listening teachings from him, I don't think you will understand what I'm trying to say. So the entire time for the beginning, for the main part of initiation, and also the conclusion part, you are not receiving this initiation for yourself. You are receiving this initiation for the sake of all sentient beings, so that you can prolong your life, so that you can practice, so that you can have the more time in this world to practice this for the sake of all sentient beings, right? So we should not lose that, forget that part of the, because if that is not there, then this, no matter how many initiations you receive, then you will not gain any merits. speaking English religion for the sake of all sentient beings is very important, because that is the kind of mindset, or that is kind of a mind which determines what kind of blessing we receive. And of course, the main part, whichever deity you are initiation you are receiving, for the sake of all. Again, keeping in mind that all three parts, beginning, the preliminary part, main part, and the conclusion, one should never forget that you are doing this for the sake of all sentient beings. Of course, that's now the conclusion. Whatever merits that you have gained during this initiation, we dedicate to all sentient beings. This is the same in even when you do your sadhana or any kind of practice you do. Structure or the frame is same all across the practice. Dedication, whatever samaya you receive, if you keep it to yourself, then this is, the samaya is going to be very minimal and it's going to be small. One samaya is something, merit is something that the more you spread or more greater your view is, the bigger your merit becomes. So we are dedicating the merit to all sentient beings, not just humans, not just a certain particular person or something, but for the sake of all. Because let's say when you do prayers, if you pray for your only loved ones or only your family member, or that kind of power is very limited. But if you are receiving blessings, whenever you are praying for all sentient beings, that automatically includes whoever you are praying for. As a Buddhist, we never, one should never try to pray for a particular person. For let's say your family member is sick, or some business is not going well, in a work you have some problems, so any kind of problem you have, if you are only, oh please, get me out of this problem, and you should pray this way, then your prayer, power of your prayer is very limited. If you pray for the sake of all sentient beings, that's a huge, how do you say, there's no limit, so it becomes very much powerful, even to, you are the only one who is praying, but that power becomes very big, and then that way you also receive that kind of merit also. Remember, merit is very important. Without merit, there is no enlightenment. It's very important. We have completed the initiation. This is a long life initiation. But, as I said in the beginning, please take your medications, do your exercise, eat healthy foods. If you do not do all this, just by receiving this initiation, you will not be having a longer life. So this is important. You cannot just rely on just on this. So you have to do all your exercise and your walks and your whatever you are doing. It's very important. And before we do the dedication prayers, I would like to thank Lama Shada, who have requested this initiation, and for the center members, and also friends, Sakya friends, who has translated, I believe, into I think 11 or 12 of languages. Because of their work, now so many people can practice Vaitara, so we are very thankful to them. And also for Manjushri Center from Taiwan, for Ani Wangmo, who is also transmitting this initiation to all her members and friends and family. Thank you very much. So we'll do the dedication prayer. Okay, Samaya. Samaya, I've been asked if there are any Samayas to receive this initiation. I would only say, of course, try to become a better practitioner. The question that I raised in the beginning about yourself, about happiness, about suffering, because this will help you. And it's important to ask yourself. Never think that, oh, I'm a normal person, I'm a family person, I'm just working in some office, or I'm working in some village or something. If you have that kind of mindset, it will really, it will be difficult for you to be understanding the Buddha's teaching. You have to be confident. That is very important. Before you do anything, you have to be confident that you can become, achieve Buddhahood. You can be enlightened. There is nothing stopping you from achieving enlightenment, or there's no, you have all the abilities, you have all the power you need to be. Whenever I do this kind of teachings, I never feel or I never say that, oh, I'm going to teach you something. My personal belief is that masters cannot teach you anything. As a Buddhist subject, masters cannot teach you anything. They can make you realize what you have, what you can become, the power you have within yourself, the potential you have to that realization is, for example, you already for example, let's say you are hungry and you want to eat an omelet. If there's a eggs pan and the cook and the gas, but still, if you don't know how to make the omelet, you'll be hungry. So certain if somebody says, oh, I'll crack the egg into the pan and then you put salt and you can cook this way, then that person is not giving you an egg, that person is not giving you anything, but through the power of your knowledge, you can make now you can make your omelet and you can eat yourself. So just like that is unlocking, or what is it? Today's term is unlocking, but the potential you have. Secondly, I realized that if you have any kind of problem, any kind of family problem, or any, if you can to be I can't really say happy, but to be more calm. There are, I think, two or three things. One thing is that to have a good balance in your life, that whether it's the diet, if you eat too much, it's not good. If you eat too less, it's not good for you. Whether you have work too hard is not good. Work too less is also not good. Exercise too much is not good for your health. Without exercise is also not good for your health. Even medicine, if you take medicine which is helping you, if you are taking more than you should, then again the medicine becomes the problem now. Anything in your life, for example, even your love, if you love somebody, if you have too much love, then you become a stalker, or you become somebody else, and the other person doesn't want to be near. So even your within the family, I will say, even your child or your parents, if you hug them for the first 5 seconds, it's good, it's very pleasant, it's happiness. And then if you hug them all the time, if you are hugging them every day, every time, then you become somebody that they don't want to be around. Right? They will be running away from you. So there's a limit. There's a balance. You should keep always a balance of whatever you do. I remember once somebody asked me, "Oh, Rinpoche, please bless me that I have many obstacles in my practice." And I asked him, "What kind of problems you are facing?" He said, "Oh, I'm falling asleep. I'm falling asleep all the time." And I asked him, "How long do you do the practice?" But he said, "I do practice 24 hours." And I said, "You can't do practice 24 hours. Physically, it's not possible. You need rest. A person needs rest. You need then you be, you know, to be able to do the practice, you need rest. So that's like, too much practice is also not good, too less practice is also not good. So anything in your life to keep a good balance, whether family members or workers, anything basically, anything, your food, your health, physical body, anything to keep a good balance. That balance is also, of course, is very, let's say, individual. Yeah, I cannot say, oh, this much is a good balance for you, because that everybody has different minds and different limits. So according to your own, that you have to understand yourself. And second thing is to accept what you are. Who are we? Whether you are, because we're always trying to be somebody we are not. We're trying to show somebody. We are always trying to pretend that we are greater, bigger, smarter, something like that. So, but if you accept, that's why you will never be happy. If you accept who you are, then actually you have to accept. Because if you want to be more calm, relaxed, then you have it. Because if you are not accepting who you are, then, for example, if I'm 43 years old, as I said, if I can't accept that I'm 43 years old, I will not become 20 years old, but I will never be happy, because I am 43, I cannot change that. I have to accept that. My physically, now I cannot do many things which I used to do as a teenager. I cannot just run around, I cannot, you know, teenager's body is much more stronger and better. Now I'm getting older, my knees, my back, I'm not that old, 43, but still, I have to understand my limits, accept that I'm 43 years, I have to understand that. So just like that, I mean, according to your own age and according to your own this thing, accepting also is very important, whether you are rich or, I mean, these are just the numbers, which, because I have met many, many different kinds of people in my life. I have met very, very, very rich people. I have met like people who doesn't have enough food for one day, that kind of people also. But that doesn't necessarily mean that poor people are not happy and richer people are much more happy. In fact, I have seen that more the richer people have more problems. I have always seen them in stress. I have always seen them in in a more difficult situation. I have always seen them, people surrounding the rich people are always not kind of a very, genuine people. So I find that no matter whatever situation you are in, accept and also balance. These are the two things, if you can practice, I think you will become a much better practitioner, a much better human being, a much better person to your family, much better person to live in a society, much better person for all around. So these are basically to the acceptance and keep a good balance. I think that's the only thing I can say. Over the years, I've received many teachings, but I'm very slow and very dumb, so I don't understand many of the things, but whatever I have understood, whatever I have experienced, I try to share with you. If it helps you, please try to do this. I'm not saying that just because you have received initiations from me, I am telling you, I cannot say that. I can never say you must do that. Whatever practice, whether you're doing, how long you're practicing, whether you're doing your practice or not, how long you're doing your practice, which deity you're doing, this is all your decision. As a Buddhist practitioner, I can try to help you. I can only try to show you what I can, what I have seen, what I have experienced. So this way we have completed today's initiation. Thank you very much.